You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 24. Gospel of Luke and chapter 24. And perhaps we can look to the Lord. Our Father and God, we've opened thy love letter, thy word, so help us in every way, even now. Give us the understanding that helps us to practice what we understand. And our Father will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we can go in the light of being the day that it is, and to lock on, as it were, to what are we resting on? What is to be a hymn? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So, on Christ the solid rock I stand. What am I resting on that's safe, secure, certain? What am I resting on? So, if you would, God in his wonderful, wonderful grace has given us his word. Without his word, we're stuck. Close your Bible, put it aside, and then go to the big library in Congress and find me another book like it. There is none. There is none. Fortunately, there's only one Bible. One God, one Bible. So if you want to know God, you got one Bible. So there's no confusion and nothing to worry about. You want to go with God? You go to God's Word, the Bible. And therefore, God has given us his Word, and his wonderful and the Scriptures, so that we can know what? Here's the books of the Bible. In Genesis to Revelation, what are we supposed to be looking for when we have those books? So, in that chapter 24, Luke, picking up, if I may, in verse 27. Remember now, after his resurrection, I'm going to go to verse 25 even. After his resurrection, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, that's the Old Testament. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Isaiah 53. And to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now you lock that in case there's any question. Luke chapter 24, sliding over to verse 27. 24, and I should say chapter 24, verse 27, and then slide over to verse 44. Remember, he took and ate, did eat before them, etc. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, but 3 1/3 years. While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Everything you turn the pages has to be outworked. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. And then you have the two words concerning me. So, and without turning there for time's sake, John 5 and verse 39, what are we? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So here's the book, and it's all about one person. All about one person, So I turn the pages, that's what I know. And having got that part, so the scriptures are there and we're to understand them. And God has given us his word, so it's all about him. Now, over to the Gospel of the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew chapter 12. And remember, what we're doing is trying to lock in for myself. Why is it on Christ the solid rock I stand, such solid ground? Chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And you'll remember, sliding over to verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign, no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights, so our Lord. So he told them all of that. Chapter 16. And he tells them, but the only sign they wanted a sign. And Ken? And chapter 16. And you'll note, I'm going to go to verse 3 for a little context. Well, I read verse 2 for a little context. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is not red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked, verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. God says, the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of the prophet Jonah. After 3 days and 3 nights, that's what I'm going to give you. I'm not going to give you that sign. You want? Hang on. Now, end chapter 16, if I can, keeping that in mind. And in chapter 16, going, if I can, over to verse 21. Mrs. Nowon is about 6 months ago. He's going down, he's going to go to the cross. And he tells them, on his way to the cross, he's been doing different things. But from now on, he's headed to that cross. And the concentration, his main movement, is to go to that cross. So therefore, verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must, it is compulsory, go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, of the chief priest, of the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. He tells them, that's what it's going to be. So there was no mystery about this. Nothing, no mystery at all. He's going. And so it's very clearly, as they go down the corridor of time, going down, as it were, as Jonah, the Bible. And so now, and the scriptures are going to give us some more help. Without them, we wouldn't understand any of this. God has given a written record, a preserved written record to understand the scriptures, because the scriptures are all about his wonderful person and what he has done for us. humans on planet Earth. So therefore, here he goes down now and looking, and God's going to go in his most wonderful way and make very public, in a very wonderful way, 3 1/3 years, there's no question, up and down the land, that's what he did. So God has given us, and we got a record of it in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 4 windows to look out at the cross and see it from 4 different windows. So we see. So now what are we seeing? God's very, very public ministry, his last days, and his death, burial, and resurrection. So therefore, as you turn the page, he's going to go. He said, chapter 16, verse 21, he's going to be killed and rise again the third day. Now, over to chapter 27 of Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 27, you would remember his resurrection, and crucifixion takes place, and in the process, the burial, etc. And the people, not the disciples, the people, the leadership, the people, the leadership. What was the common knowledge? What did they know? Remember now, this approximately, it's the Passover. It is said by the historians that were there, Josephus, etc. There were perhaps the little Jerusalem. 2.7 million people were there at that time. So here's Jerusalem with over 2.5 million people. That's a lot of people. And our Lord comes in very publicly, Matthew 21, comes in very publicly, so that there's no question the city is awakened to the fact that something's happened, and the Christ who's been going up and down the land has come in, and he's come in, and they're seeing he's being presented as a king. He's a wonderful leader that needs to be honored and respected coming in. And he's going to be there, in and out of the city, come Wednesday. So when we come to chapter 27, the crucifixion, and what are we going to do? And so what did the city, the leaders know? Chapter 27, picking up verse 62. And now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priest and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate. So these are people that know, saying, Sir Pilate, Pontius Pilate, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, and 3 days, I will rise again. After 3 days. Now, why did we celebrate the Good Wednesday on, why did we celebrate Good Wednesday instead of Good Friday? Because it won't work. Tradition. Tradition has many things going that just keep repeating itself century after century because it's easier. And but, we know what? After 3 days, he's crucified, 3 p.m. Wednesday, he's dead, and we prepare Passover. So we have the day. So we count a day. 6 p.m. Wednesday, we start Thursday. We go 6 p.m. Thursday, 6 p.m. Friday, 6 p.m. Saturday, and at 6:05, it is Sunday. Any time after 6 p.m. on Saturday, he could rise. Anytime. After 3 days. After 3 days. Don't need to. Even I understand it. Wow, I got it. Now, having said that, what are they concerned about? And interestingly enough, why didn't the disciples know this? Interesting. How come the unsaved were all concerned about him rising, fulfilling? He's going to come, rise again. Peter, James, and John, what about you guys? What about you guys? You should know. But they didn't. It wasn't there. Now, so therefore, what are they going to do? Verse 64. Command ye therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. In other words, they're going to say something, and we aren't able to prove it against them. Verse 65, Pilate said unto them, take a watch, that could be 60 Roman soldiers, maybe, around that. 60, set a watch, go your way, make it sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting the watch. So the tomb was all there, and given them, the tomb was there. And they rolled the rolled the rock in front of the door, put the body in there, rolled the rock in front of the door, and then sealed it so that you have to break the seal to move the rock, and that's what you'd have to do. And they did that. So they did everything they could, as much as they could. But, you know, it was in God's time and grace. So God made no question. He's given you his word. He's given you all about why he had to go to the cross and why he had to die and rise again, the gospel. He gave us all of that. So there's no question. It's very, very public. Very, very, everything's very, very public. It's a very public time. Lots and lots of witnesses in lots and lots of ways. Very, very public. So there's no question about that. But the only sign he's going to give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. You're going to have them cross. You're going to crucify him, as we'll see, and bury him. Empty cross. But then you got an empty tomb. And that is unheard of. So let's keep going. So here we are. And in chapter 28, as we shared, chapter 28, verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, we shared that in the reading. And some of the watch went and came back when they rolled the rock. The rock was gone, etc., etc. And as you had chapter 28, picking it up, if I can, and the verse 5, 28, 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know you seek Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come see. Got to finish the sentence. Come see. What do you mean? Come see the place where he lay. Specific. Don't just come and look. I want you to look. I want you to see something. I want you to go in there and see where he lay, where he was. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and remember the Romans, they issued a death certificate, so there was no question he's dead. He's dead, no question about that. And the watch is there, and the watch is, the soldiers are paid a lot of money to shut up. And in the process, a process of the Jews and the Romans don't want to even think about it. Jews didn't want to think about it. The Romans didn't want to think about it. No one wants to think about it. What? That he rose from the grave. If he rose from the grave, he may really be who he is. He may really be that. And if that's true, we crucified him. Now, we can't have that in our conscience. So forget that. Forget that. No, we know we don't do that. So therefore, in God's wonderful saving grace, and thus the Jews and the Romans, and they're in it, they have a problem because he has risen again. And they had all the trials, they did everything. Everything's very public. They condemn themselves. Three Jewish trials, three Gentile trials. What do? They went into the place where, without any question, Jew and Gentile, did we examine him? Did we do everything? We made it very, very, very public. Public to the Jews, public to the Gentiles. We're going to go and crucify him. So therefore, as they go looking and wanting and hoping all will go away, and the trouble is, it's unexplainable. How do you explain empty? How do you explain it? Empty. The evidence, but it's empty. Now what are you going to do? You're stuck. And God got him. He's got him. The only sign I'm going to give you is an empty tomb. That's all I'm going to give you. Now what are you going to do? Now what are you going to do? So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and it's unexplainable, the evidence is unquestionable, and we can't explain away. Can't explain it with sleeping gods. The body stolen and all of that is out of the question. So what are we doing? So when? Now, and just saying it a different way, when the Jewish people went in the Bible, they never went. The Jews, you won't read about his empty tomb and hunting it down except somewhere in the world system in a wrong way. What happens? Well, the sleeping gods, etc., who stole the body, there's never, the Jewish people never, never, never attempted to answer the resurrection. No one answers it. The only thing you can do is persecution. That's all you can do. And persecution, and that's what they did. And in the process, go to Acts chapter 2. Acts in chapter 2. And you will note Acts in chapter 2. May I go directly to verse 31. Well, I'll read verse 30 for a little bit. Chapter 2, Acts, verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Verse 31. And seeing this before spake, this is Peter telling you, the first day of Pentecost, telling you what happened. Verse 31. And seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Now, what is the job then of the church? As my Father sent me, so send I you. And thus, you shall be my witnesses, Acts 1:8, my witnesses. So when we come to verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof, verse 32, whereof we all are witnesses. We're all there. We're all witnesses that he raised up. He spoke to us. We were dumbfounded. And then we had to believe. He said, touch me, etc., 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 etc. Now, having said that little bit, chapter 4 of Acts. And you remember in the preaching of they were just fishermen, tax collectors, in chapter 4 and in verse 2. Being grieved, what was the problem? Here at what? Being grieved that they, the fishermen, Peter, James, and John, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That is unacceptable. That's unacceptable. We can't have that. We can't have that. What are we supposed to be? We're Acts 1:8. We are his witnesses. And the world says in darkness, we can't have that light. We can't have that light. Was it unacceptable back then? It's unacceptable today. Unacceptable. Now, so here's, they preached unto them the resurrection from the dead. And to frustrate the world, Romans chapter 1, verse 23, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory and honor of God's person into creatures and idols and idolatry. So chapter 4, sliding over, if I can, to verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men, who do you think you are saying such things? You say, how can you talk about such things? Did you go to school? Did you go and know what we know? Pharisees, Sadducees? No, you don't. You're just nobody. How can nobodies be somebodies? So therefore, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of what? Knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You guys are Christians. Christ in you. Christian. Antioch, where the name is first used. Christian. Christ in you. You're talking about a resurrection of Christ? Right, we're his witnesses. We received him as our Savior. He lives. He lives in my little old heart. That's what it said. Yeah. Who are you? You say. We're just us. That's all. That's all we are. So now, here's the evidence. The evidence, the absence of death in a wonderful way. Now, go over, if you would, please, back over to the Gospel of John, as you would know, and rightly so. Gospel of John, and come see, look and see. What do you see in that tomb, in that where the rock is moved? Over if I can. John chapter 20, again, as you would know, and it's good to just let it sink in again and again and again, because that's what God, the angel, said. Come see where he lay. Come see where he lay. And chapter 20, if I can. And remember now they're coming. There I'll read verse 1. The first day of the week, that's Sunday, after 6 o'clock, Saturday. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, and unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they had laid him. Now, Mary, did you go in and look? No. Verse 3. Peter, therefore, went forth, listening to the ladies. Peter went forth, and the other disciple, that's John, and came to the sepulchre. And they ran both together. The other disciple outdid run John. John was older, and John was faster. John beat him. So Peter's right behind him. So therefore, they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. And they came first to the sepulchre. He, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. John just stopped. Peter went right past him. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went in unto the sepulchre, seeing the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. That's what they saw. So remember, the angel said, come see where he lay. Not where, don't see it's empty. I want you to see where he lay, where he was. Where did you put him? We put him right there. What is left there? What is left there? All you've got is the grave clothes, the body wrapped, remember, wrap it with a sheet, and you lay down the corpse. We lay down the corpse, wrapped in a sheet, and then practice was to take a napkin, handkerchief, and put it over the eyes. His eyes, you can't see, they're dead. So, that's, what are you looking at? Well, we see the grave clothes, but there's nothing in them. They haven't been unwrapped. No, never were unwrapped. And to boot, there's the napkin over here. Now, you could have left the napkin there, but God chose not to leave the napkin there. He put the napkin over here. Why? Because you know, you could just stay with this, but looking at the empty body, empty wrappings, but then you get the napkin over here. Well, how could the napkin get over here? You see. So you have to answer that. But you can't answer that. No. And to see this, go hold your finger here and go over with me to the Gospel of John. And you'll remember, if you would, remember Lazarus, if you would. And may I pick up so you see it and tie it together in your mind, if you like. Gospel of John, chapter 11, if I can. And I'll read verse 43. 11:43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, because he's all wrapped up. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Everything's there. In other words, God said, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus said, okay. And he got up. He never changed his clothes. Get up, went out the door, and he was all wrapped up. The napkin's on his head. Ah, that's right. Hang on, finish it. In his face, and Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Back over to John 20. What did God do? What did the angel say? Go see where he lay. You're going to see an empty body, a body wrapped, but no body in it. And you're going to see a napkin set aside that belonged on the face. Now, answer that. There is no answer. It's empty. There is nothing to say. It's empty. Empty, 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 empty. That's right. The grave is empty. There's no evidence of death. There is no evidence of death in that tomb. Not a drop. Not a drop. But he died. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he said, once he paid the penalty, he gave up his spirit and said, it is finished. Finished. And he went to paradise and take care of all the believers that were waiting, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, take care of all of that. And then he went, and the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, etc. And then he went up and to see the disciples, to see them and help them understand. Do they have to see, understand? Understand what? I told you on the third day, After the third day, I would rise again. You didn't pay attention, did you? The world paid attention. The Pharisees, Pontius Pilate paid attention. But how come you believers didn't pay attention? Because what, you would not get sidetracked. You spent 3 1/3 years with him. He's awesome. He's an awesome person. And we never got to understand the awesomeness of his person, that he was God in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we didn't catch it. We didn't catch it. We knew him, but we didn't know him. We didn't know him. So now, having said that, so here they are looking and looking, and John saw verse 6, and Simon Peter, and they went, seeth the linen clothes lie, and all of these things, as they happened, as they were to be outworked. No body, and ain't no, just wrappings. And we share that for all these times, keeping in mind. So God, come see the place where he lay. No body, no dead, no body, no death, no body, as we shared. No body, no death. He's risen. How do you know he's risen? There's nothing there. Nothing there. Evidence. If I didn't leave the wrapping, took him out. No. I wanted you to understand. God said he was dead. That's why I leave the wrapping and why I put the napkin over here. So you'd see that. Come see the place where he lay. See that body empty. That's what you need to know. What you don't know. And therefore he shows himself 40 days and nights to help them understand in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, come see the only sign. So now in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, here we are looking in God's way, in God's time, the only sign he's going to give him, the sign of the prophet Jonah. That's all he's doing today. What's he doing today? People are going to celebrate resurrection, whatever that will mean to people, whatever that means. What is it supposed to mean? The empty tomb, Acts 1:8, Acts chapter 2, the empty tomb, an empty cross, to go what? To have a full heart. The only witnesses I'm going to take, Acts 1:8, etc., are you. I'm going to take my wonderful person and put it in your little old life. I'm going to put my person in your person. And I'm going to show them. For 3 1/3 years, I showed them flesh. And now, for all these years of grace, I show them your flesh. I show them your flesh. That's what I'm going to show them. Your flesh. Just flesh. Yeah. That's what I'm going to show them. Differences. I am finding my home in your heart. That's the difference. I'm going to show. They didn't believe when I was in the flesh. And they don't believe when you're in the flesh. But that's all I'm going to show them. Now, keeping that in mind, the only sign. So the 1 Corinthians 1:18, all of that. Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Foolishness, cross. So God, what are we looking at? Well, he's risen, he's seated, and we enjoy being a whosoever and honoring God in a wonderful way. Now, in order to put that together, you get it, so that no question. When we celebrate, like Easter, he rose again. I got it. You bet he rose again. That's how I got saved. That's how you get saved. That's right. Closing, tying it together. Romans. Romans in chapter 1. Two things. And you know Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, picking up, if I even can. And you'll notice, look, chapter 10, verse 17, in the context of the chapter. 17. So then, faith. And the word faith there has the word the in front of it. You won't see it in the King James. The. Personal faith, believing, when you put a the faith, the body of truth, God's word, the scriptures that are to be honored. Well, faith cometh how? How do we get the body of truth? Faith cometh by hearing. What are we doing? We're trying to get it, sharing it together. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So that's why we got the scriptures sliding over. So our mouth is able to say, chapter 10, verse 9, that if shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, then believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Four reasons. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Why? Because I believe the scriptures, which is one we try to look at. He had to die, he had to rise again. There's no question. No question about anything. He did it. So whatever he thought this, just evidence. That's how Quo Vadis, I think, was written. Quo Vadis, a book? Book about resurrection. The guy started to write the book to refute it. And he ended up believing. He said, this evidence is insurmountable. Wow. So God, faith comes by hearing. You got that part. That's why we read the scriptures. That's why they're given to know what? To know him. All the pages are to help you to know him. Therefore, a closing. 2 Corinthians. And a basic truth to be understood, if I can. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, may I pick up, please? And you'll notice, I want to read verse 6, read verse 5. 2 Corinthians 4, 5. For we preach not ourselves. Listen about us. No siree. But Christ Jesus, the Lord. The Bible isn't about us, it's about him. But Christ Jesus, the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For, what for? To help what? To understand. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined where? In our hearts. What for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where are we going to see the light of the knowledge and see the glory of God? In the face of Jesus Christ. What a treasure. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency over and above, beyond, out of reach of power may be of God and not of us. So we have this treasure now. And you remember we shared it many times. Years ago, when King Tut, they had the treasure of King Tut, come over here to the United States to tour, and they had the treasurer and all of that stuff. And National Geographic had a whole article that they did because of it on the Geographic about the treasure and everything. And you could go see the treasure, King Tut's treasure, and King Tut. And you go see the treasure and say, wow, you could say, wow, lots of stuff. But now, it didn't do him any good. Do you understand? It didn't do him any good. I mean, what's good to have $1 zillion in gold and you're dead, right? Better to have $5 and use it wisely. So, here we are. Now, what are we talking about? God, that's the treasure. What do we have? Not King Tut's treasure. No. That's what you read in verse 7. You have a treasure. The treasure is himself. God is your treasure in your heart. He is the most wonderful, most valuable, most awesome thing, person in your life. Yes, God in you, the hope of glory. He's your treasure. Easter is all about God finding a home in your heart and the treasure of an empty tomb is found in a full heart. The explanation of the empty tomb is your little old life and mine. That's the explanation of an empty tomb. We're walking around. You got it? Thank you. Our Father and God, looking to you to deal with us according to your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Just thank you. Spirit of God, we just try to put it out in front of us so we could be reminded of the order and why Easter, why resurrection, why an empty tomb, why are we sitting together on your day in order to what? Honor your life, the life that's found in your resurrection, that's found as we walk in newness of life, your life, as we're together, God, sharing what? A common life, yours, in a common way for your glory and your honor. And our God, here we are. The ills and aches are there. The needs are there. The problems are there. But God, this body, your house, we're bought with a price. God, take care of it for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying. Encourage and strengthen each heart. And we'll thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.